welcome, and I hope you really enjoyed our opening poem by the amazing poet and activist Tandy Gametz. Now, first of all, I just love you because we're all here, we're all interested in justice, aren't we? That's something on everybody's heart, I don't doubt. So if you just want to just greet the person next to you, just say hi, here we are all together, and just do it. You've probably done it already. Okay, that short greeting is all you're allowed. But first of all, I have actually a message from Andy. David said that he's poorly. I'm really sorry he's not here today, and not as sorry as him, because he sent us a message. He said, please greet everyone for me and explain this. Let us not just be hearers of the word today, but doers also. This subject of justice in so many aspects of our lives is so important and is so central to the personhood of God and what he expects from us. And he goes on to say he's looking forward to hearing the tape. So that's great. So I'd just love for us to start off by praying for our service today and praying for Andy. I'm going to leave somebody from here to pray for Andy. I'm sure somebody will want to pray for dear Andy. We really love him. But I'm going to pray for the service today now. Dear Lord, we just trust in your unfailing love. You are the good shepherd, the one who cares for us, leads us, and guides us. Lord, you never leave us alone. You don't leave us thrashing about, not knowing where to go. But you've promised to be the good shepherd. And we pray that you would lead and guide us during this time when we look at justice and love and mercy. So we commit this time to you. And if anybody else would like to just pray for Andy now, that would be really lovely. Okay, let's stand and sing our first song, which is about clouds gathering and Jesus bringing his justice. I'm going to invite Will to come up and tell us a bit about where we've been and to introduce another amazing poet that we found on our journey. And you go, Will, some of you don't know this, but actually, Will, how far did you run yesterday?
36 miles.
36, only 36 miles. Fantastic. So you're still standing?
Barely, I might collapse halfway through.
Fantastic.
What a lovely song, and I haven't heard that for ages, and the words are just so perfect for the modern age. 2 weeks ago, was it 3 weeks ago, me, Sue and Steve went to a conference in London, Wembley, called the Justice Conference, hosted by Tear Fund. Tear Fund are a relief, development and advocacy organisation working in 50 countries. The Justice Conference is a movement encouraging Christians to make justice an important part of their lives. Now, much was said at the Justice Conference about churches like us, like ours, really don't understand what's going on in the real world. Anthony last week touched on it. Now, we're going to have a video clip of a really great guy. Doesn't look like us, doesn't talk like us, but he's got a real grasp of what's important in the world. So now, if Barry can get it together, we're going to have a clip of Micah Bourne.
Church is not once a week. Church is not Sunday morning, 10 a.m. till, isn't it supposed to end at noon? Why is the pastor still talking? Church is not dropping your kids off in a classroom while you sit in a pew doodling cartoons over announcements you never read, prayer requests for which you never intercede, invitations you never accept, opportunities you always let pass. Church is so much more than that. Church is people, flesh and bones, fingers and toes, individuals with faith in Christ who collectively make up his bride. Church is, sure, I'll give you a ride. Church is, he's not even a Christian. You know that's not right. Church is, let's Google Obadiah and find out why he's in the Bible. Church is, sorry, bro, I know it's 2 a.m., but my wife just cussed me out and I'm about to do something ungodly. Can you pray for me? Church is, seriously, keep it. It wasn't a loan. It's a gift. I know you need it. Church is believers living life side by side, asking questions, good advice, open arms, open homes, open Bibles, open tables. Church is chicken, rice, and beans. Church is hurting because you refuse to participate. The head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. Au contraire, those parts which appear to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts we believe to be less honorable, we treat with greater honor. So please don't think you have nothing to offer. And don't dare think we have nothing to offer you. Pity on him who falls and has no one to help him up. Church is there for you. Church is who we are communally, not where we go once a week. So when you leave the auditorium Sunday at noon, do you leave the church too? Or do we walk with you?
I'm now going to talk rubbish, even more literally than usual. Plastic, it's all around us, isn't it? In the media, in our shopping trolleys, in our recycling bins. You can't go long without another TV show talking about it. It's a big deal. And we all know the amount of waste being produced is a big problem. Do you know in the UK, we throw away enough plastic waste to fill 2 double-decker buses every 30 seconds? Most people have heard about the effect plastic has on the oceans and wildlife, but we don't often hear about the huge impact it has on people living in poverty. Today, 2 billion people in the world's poorest countries are living and working amongst piles of waste, because they don't have their rubbish collected. Can you imagine that? 1 in 4 people in the world live without waste collection. These people have no choice but to burn their rubbish, to get rid of it or throw it into waterways or just live amongst it. That means they're breathing toxic air, drinking polluted water, and battling sickness. Up to 1 million people die each year due to pollution from waste. That's around one person every 30 seconds. And each day the waste mountains are growing. In Romans 8, we read, creation is groaning. We see this so clearly when we see the natural world littered with plastic. It's this damaged and groaning creation we're called to take care of. And when Jesus calls us to love our neighbours, this includes people living in poverty, near and far. Creation is a wonderful gift and reveals God's love and generosity to us. I had a really lovely day yesterday running across the Chiltern Hills, and it's just so beautiful, all the signs of spring around us. Colossians 1:20 says, through Jesus' death, he's made way for all things, all of creation, everything on earth and in heaven to be reconciled with God. Today, as the people of God, we're called to take care for creation as good stewards, be restorers of everything that's broken, and to take care of our global neighbours. We can do this by living in a way that shows great care for creation and people living in poverty. That enables all people everywhere to enjoy the blessings of creation that God intended for everyone. It's a question of justice. Together we can make small changes to reduce our plastic use, at home and in our church. When we're doing this, we're valuing what God has given us by following Jesus in loving our neighbours as ourselves. Even making small swaps, such as buying our vegetables loose, reusing bags, and carrying reusable cups, are an act of worship to the God of justice who delights in creation. We can also make a difference by speaking up to corporations who are making the rubbish problem worse. Huge global companies such as Coca-Cola, Nestle, Pepsi and Unilever sell billions of products to the third world in single-use plastic. That packaging gets used once, then is thrown away. They do this in full knowledge that the people have no safe way of getting rid of the plastic and will have no choice but to discard or live amongst it. We're now going to watch a short video about what it's like to live amongst waste.
The world has a rubbish problem, and it affects the poorest the hardest. That's because 2 billion people worldwide don't have their rubbish collected. In Pakistan, 20 million tons of rubbish are created every year.
Majority of this waste, it gets burnt, emitting pollutions in the air that are damaging to the health of people.
Single-use plastic products are rubbish. The global companies that make them know that many communities have no choice but to burn waste or live among it. They need to take responsibility. Please sign our petition and let's put an end to this rubbish problem.
A few weeks ago, Kerry's dad Colin was over and I was talking to him about the water problems in Cape Town. I guess you all know Cape Town was within a couple of days of completely running out of water. But a couple of weeks into the water shortage, the wealthy people that live in the hills were all still filling their swimming pools, but the people in the townships were having their standpipes turned off. That's a serious question of injustice. How often do we thank God for a glass of water? On our tables, there's little bits of paper. Maybe we'd like to write down areas of injustice that concern us. And there's also cards from Tear Fund. If we like, we can make a pledge to try and reduce our plastic waste. Maybe we could have a time of discussing this, then possibly a time of prayer. Then Steve's going to come up and wrap it up for us.
Guys, I feel a bit mean stopping you here because you're probably all getting totally into it. Can't you hear me? No, they're not listening. Welcome to my life. This is like being back at school. I'm really sorry now to stop here now, but we've got loads of stuff to be thinking about as well, and you will have thought about things that are on your heart to pray. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to have a little time where we'll pray. You can pray in your head quietly. Or if any of you want to speak out your prayers, then that will be totally fantastic. We'll just do that for a couple of minutes before we'll go on to our singing. But let's just pray. There's so many things to pray about.
A friend of mine was telling me, because she likes to read scientific research novels and things, that they have discovered something that might be actually be able to break down plastic, called, it's a mushroom actually. And they're testing it, it's not confirmed yet, but if they can breathe this mushroom, it could break down the plastic into much smaller consumptions, and therefore it actually might be able to affect this plastic problem. I really want to pray for that research, because if that is possible, it might be the solution we need to break down plastic and therefore have a massive impact on the amount that we have in this earth. I was reading Genesis yesterday, and I was reading all about Abraham, how God said to Abraham, "You, as many as the stars in the sky are your descendants." If you look at stars, they don't look very connected. They look very far apart from one another. But they are connected through what's known as constellations. And we are like those stars. We are connected through invisible lines. You are connected to someone as far away as Pakistan or Japan. And if they're being affected by this plastic, your prayer will connect through that invisible line. It will go down it through God's power and God's power of the Holy Spirit. And it will affect them, because they will feel it, not just in their minds or in their brains and their souls, but in their very heart. That prayer travels to people all over the earth. It doesn't just stay in one place. So I just really pray that you will be able to connect to those people through that invisible light. It connects us all. Because at the end of the day, our brothers and sisters might be at the opposite end of the world, but they're still our brothers and sisters, and we are always connected to each other.
Thanks, Charlotte. That's really great. So, I'm not sure if anybody else would like to offer prayer. Well, I'm sure we've...
I've just got a little comment that might
okay.
be interesting. One thing that some people have been doing with rubbish, plastic rubbish in Nigeria, plastic bottles, they've been building them surrounded by mud and making houses.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeffrey. That's brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to move on to our next song now, and obviously your prayers will continue to go up to God as we think about these things. So...
Do sit down. Well, good morning to you all. I can't follow Will. 36 miles. Yesterday, I didn't hardly get off the ground. I was scrambling around most of the afternoon with our three grandsons. So I can't even get near what Will is doing. And interestingly, Charlotte's comment about all the stars and goodness knows what. I don't know whether this is true, but I learnt the other day, or I read somewhere, that the sun is 850,000 miles in diameter. It's a pretty big number, isn't it? Nearly a million miles in diameter. And the Earth fits into the sun 1,300,000 times. Wow. That I just cannot even today. I'm not sure even if it is true, but that's what I read. Anyway, so today, this little bit we're going to do now is some difficult stuff to start with in a way, but it does end quite well. So I'll just carry on. So the Justice Conference we went to had some very strong themes running through it, and it had some very interesting questions it poses. One of these questions was about, are we willing to go to the places of pain? This is other people's pain. And the idea is kind of, in a sense, well, that's where we meet Jesus. If we've got everything, we don't need Jesus, do we? If we've got everything, we don't need Jesus. There are people in the world who have got nothing, literally. I'm not saying that's a good thing to have nothing, but there are people who literally have nothing by all the kind of circumstances that Barry prayed about and the injustices and all the rest of it that we all know about. But there, in those places, people find Jesus to be real, really real, because they have to, because their lives are on the line, basically, and they find Jesus. And These places of pain can be many and varied. It can be our friends, our neighbours, our family, our wider church family. It can be anybody, in a sense. And as soon as we start talking to people and they begin to tell us their stories, we realise that everybody's got pain of one sort or another in their lives. Everybody is dealing with pain. Some of it's been healed, some of it's coming. But everyone's got this. And so the Jubilee Conference was talking about prayer as being one aspect of getting into other people's pain. Are we willing to do this? And so I'd just like to read out some extracts, the first one being from Open Doors, and the CEO of Open Doors writes this about some stuff that's been happening in different parts of the world. It says, many women in countries on the Open Doors World Watch List live in societies where they are seen as second-class citizens. Those who are persecuted may also lose fathers, husbands, income, children and homes because they've chosen to follow Jesus. The rise of Islamic militancy in Nigeria, where 1,350 Christians were killed last year, and across West Africa, is causing suffering to thousands of women and children. In the last 12 months, I've heard three stories that remind me of the tenacious faith of this widow, Janie, whose husband threw her out with five children, having forced her to choose between him and Jesus. Gaius, whose family tied her by her hair to the veranda and beat her for marrying a Christian in church. And Christy, targeted and raped by Fulani herdsmen because she was a pastor's wife. All three experienced horrific persecution, but all three chose Jesus. And then we've got some stuff here. Now, these are prayer alerts from an organisation called Release International. So February 18th. It's been 3 years today since the abduction of Pastor Raymond Koh in Malaysia. On Monday morning, February 13th, Pastor Raymond was driving his car to visit a friend's house. He never arrived. He was stopped in Petaling Jaya, Selangor State, by unknown assailants and abducted in broad daylight. He has not been seen or heard from since, and his car has never been found. Video of the entire abduction, which took less than a minute, was recorded by a nearby security camera. In 2017, abduction wasn't the first time the pastor had faced persecution because of his faith. He had previously received a box of bullets in the mail warning him to stop his ministry work, but the threats didn't stop him, and in the months prior to his abduction, his wife noted a spiritual deepening in her husband. She believed that God was preparing him for the challenges to come. And then finally, we've got one, March the 3rd, fairly recently. This is happening. Thousands flee as extremists attack town in northeast Nigeria. Thousands fled for their lives as Boko Haram militants launched a five-hour attack on their town in Nigeria's Adamawa state. The attack on the mainly Christian town of Gagika began at 7 p.m. on Friday when hordes of extremists arrived by truck and motorbike. They ransacked houses and set them alight, as well as burning down three churches and several public buildings. And then finally, we've got an Iranian sister called Mary Mohammadi, who was arrested in Tehran in January this year during protests over the shooting down of a Ukrainian plane. After weeks of not knowing her whereabouts, her family have learned that Mary, who is a student, is being held in Quagak Women's Prison in Varamin, where she has reportedly been beaten and abused. She has been charged with disrupting public order at an illegal gathering. And goes on to encourage to pray for her circumstances and stuff. So those are sad and difficult stuff that's happening in our world. This slightly different story now. We're going to see a video in a little while, but here's a little background to it. Sorry, I've been looking at you for a while. It's difficult stories, aren't they? Difficult places that people live in. So I became aware of Helen Bahan in 2004. She'd been told to stop singing in Sunday school. Helen lived in a place called Eritrea, a country that is bent on exterminating, or eradicating is a better word, eradicating Christians. Eritrea, if you don't know, is located on the map above Ethiopia, on the Horn of Africa, basically on the top right-hand side of Africa. Helen's gone through various interrogations, and she refused to stop teaching and singing about Jesus. And then in 2004, she released a CD of gospel music in Asmara, which is the capital of Eritrea, and she was arrested. She was interrogated, and after a lot of difficult stuff that went on, she was finally taken and put in a metal shipping container on the edge of the desert. And in this metal shipping container, there were about, I think it was about 15 other women in this container, and she was just left there. They had a bucket about so big put there, with water in it, and that was it. There was nothing else. And you can imagine in the day the temperatures were up high, and at night they came down very low. So this is part of, we're going to see a video now, part of her story. I'll just close this curtain, I think, because they're going to interrupt it a little bit.
The bus stopped, taxi stopped, just it's around 8 o'clock. The whole area is just quiet, so only you can hear my voice. So there are 600, 700 around people, they gather. So when I start telling about the gospel, people, they start crying. Even Muslims continue. Nobody throw stone, just keep silent, crying. But the government, they arrested me. They say we must put her far from the city so she can't pray, she can't do anything. There is around 23 metal shipping containers. When we came closer to the container, I saw young people. They started peeling us. The guard, he came and he opened one container. He pushing us in. The container was clean. It have small insects. So he starts crunch your body. We are asking, where is the light? So he said, no. Where is the light? In the night, extremely cold. Just I say, the only we can do now, we sing. We have no toilet, we have no nothing. We sleep on the floor, and I'm hungry to tell people about the gospel. The word of God, he have power. So I say, God, help me, give me word. So all the time I'm writing 4-5 letters every day for prisoners. I have been for 2 years now. They ask me, Helen, where is the Bible? So I told them, I have no Bible. So how you remember this? You have been for 2 years, but you write like this. So how you remember this? So I told them, it's in my mind. In your mind? So they start beating me a lot in my head. And long beating. So afterward, he says, just go to the container. He kicked me. I stay the whole night. It's bloody pain. Early in the morning, they came again. But now we must stop teaching guards. I told him, no, if somebody came around my container, I'm preaching. I can't stop preaching. So he started taking this stick. When he beat you with this stick, you feel the whole your body fire. They know where is the nerves. So my body starts shaking by itself. Helen, you must stop preaching garbs. So just I kept silent. His eyes red, and yeah, he beat me countless. Now it's the last one, because I have no energy, I know. So just I start preparing myself to die. So at last he's totally exhausted. So just I look at him, yeah, you did your job. Also I'm doing my job. So they took me to other container, the worst container. It's dark, I can't see anything. Just I'm standing and start singing. Just doesn't matter. God gave me a new song. So just I'm singing the whole night. All the prisoners can hear. Thank you for everything, God. The bad toilet, cold, hot, everything. Because I love to worship Him. He's my Father. After the last torture, I stay for 8 months, but my situation, just I'm very sick, they don't have enough medicine. They think I'm dying. They don't want you to die inside the prison. They don't want to take this kind of responsibility, so they send me home, but always security around me. I ask God, please, I need to leave this country. I stay for 10 months treatment. Within 1 month, the Danish government accepted me. And I start sing and write my own song.
Well, so, as you can see, Helen has now lives in Denmark, and she met someone, she got married. He's actually very ill, but she's got married to someone. And she's going out to Africa to try and help at different times, to do stuff, to bring the love of Jesus to people who are living in places of deep injustice, because she's been through it, probably more than any of us all put together, possibly, in some ways. This is good now. This is good stuff we're encountering, really, because Helen is becoming into a really good place to help a lot of people. A lot of good stuff's happening. So it kind of tells us that, yeah, the injustice the conference was telling us, prayer is really important. It does work. So kind of like prayer can bring change, because when we pray God's prayers, something actually happens. It's not in our imagination. Something is happening right now. That God is somehow, whatever that is, in that language we don't know. We don't know how, you know, it's explained about the fact about the sun being so big. We haven't got a language really to understand the sun. So how can we possibly understand God, the concept of God? It is beyond it. We don't have a language for it. But we do know, and we have experienced, prayer does work. Something happens. So when we pray God's prayers, it's like prayer is actually action. Some people think prayer is just sitting around just doing nothing. But no, prayer is action. Prayer is action. And it was interesting. This is how amazing God, someone in the prayer meeting said something about God does the unexpected. Colin, didn't you? You prayed about God does the unexpected. And when we were at this conference in the evening, we got a bit hungry the first evening of the conference, and Will and Sue, we decided to go into the Wembley Village. You know, I don't know if you've all been up to the Wembley Village, the new Wembley Village around the Wembley Stadium. It's massive. It's incredible what they're doing. Billions they're spending. They're building these to create almost like a kind of community. Anyway, we tried to find a place to eat, so we just milled around a bit, and we found that ourselves ended up in Costa Coffee. So we go into Costa Coffee, and we're just buying stuff, and I turn round, and I said to her, I don't believe it. That's Helen sitting over there. And in the window seat, Helen Bahan was sitting in the window seat. So we went up, and we started engaging a bit of whatever. So, you know, it was like God, and I wrote this down, it's difficult to remember all this stuff, so I'm sorry if it's not making too much sense, but yeah, it was like God said to me, God kind of said to me, Steve, it is worth praying. Here we are. You're in this situation, and this is like you've prayed. This person has been in your, whatever, since 2004. That's 16 years ago. And then suddenly we're in a restaurant, and she's sitting there in the window. So that is, it's true, Colin, what you said. God does do unexpected things. I think now we're going to spend some time just around the table, just sort of praying, perhaps. If you know of any situations where people need prayer, just have a, you know, either talk about prayer, about how it can be so helpful, or just pray together. We'll do that for, what, 5 minutes, is that right? Yeah, okay. So, okay.
And we've looked, haven't we, at quite a few very sad things, but the truth is we're part of a worldview, and there's many worldviews really that join together to be part of a solution to this sadness. And while these other guys were going off and being very brainy and keen and stuff, looking at the seminars and things, I decided I'd go and look at the resources place. They had this lovely hall, and they had stands and stalls of all these wonderful young people. They were all young. They were young people who were doing amazing things. And so with their kind permission, I said, excuse me, Kieran, excuse me, Sally, can I just do a quick video clip of you? And you can tell our friends back in Seer Green what you're actually doing. And it's really amazing. And Barry and Josie, between them, have got these video clips on there because I kindly gave them in the wrong format. So, thank you. So. So this is Kieran.
Hi.
And he's going to tell us just a little bit about the Tear Fund, the logo here, the Tear Fund campaign about rubbish.
That's right. So we have our rubbish campaign, and we are taking action to tell four companies that they need to take responsibility for their plastic waste that they're producing in countries where they don't have waste collection, because it's a huge problem for them. It creates disease, it creates air pollution, so we want them to do something about it. So if you want to get part of it, you can get one of these campaign cards or visit our website. It's tearfund.org/action, and you'll find all the campaign details. Join us, you can sign a petition, you can take action in your own life and reduce your single-use plastic too. We'd love to hear from you, and keep in touch.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
All right, bye.
And here is Ian, and he's going to tell us a tiny little bit about his magazine, Plough.
Plough Quarterly is a magazine for Christian people who want to do something with their lives beyond just going to church. Every issue is focused on a particular theme. This one is about cities and people who live in cities, and the good sides of cities and the bad sides of cities. But Plough generally is keen on Christians who do stuff. If you want to do something more than just believe, buy the magazine, get some ideas.
Thank you, brilliant.
How's that?
Hello, this is Emily from Chips, and she's going to tell us a bit about the amazing work that she's doing.
Hi guys, I'm Emily. Chips stands for Christian International Peace Service, and we're a small charity working right now in Ghana and Brixton. And we work with local communities to help address the underlying causes of conflict. So that varies from youth mentoring or animal care, whatever are the issues that bring people from both sides of a conflict together and help find ways of collaborating and solving bigger issues in long-term sustainable ways.
Thank you very much. Let me just show you a bit of the visual stuff. There they are working there, and here's Emily again. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So hello, this is Esther, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the amazing work that she's involved in.
I work for a wonderful charity, Restored. Restored exists to end violence against women. We work with churches to prevent and respond to instances of domestic abuse. My wonderful colleague, Carolina, over here, goes out to train churches. She'll come to a church and give a session on what it means to have biblical relationships, what domestic abuse is, and how it affects people, the impact it has on individuals, on church communities. As an organisation, we work specifically with churches because we know that domestic abuse occurs in churches. It's actually 1 in 4 women in the UK that experience domestic abuse, and the same is true in churches too. So we hope to be able to work with churches to tackle and respond to this issue, because we believe that God wants so much more for us.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. That was just four of them, but there were loads of them just on this thing, all working away really well to do create justice in our world. Now, Barry, we've got a map now. We've got a map coming up. And we've got a map coming up now. Oh, yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be big. It's going to be big. Well, okay. No, it doesn't have to be big, because actually I work with the children and stuff like that, and a map, for goodness sake, who needs a map? Nobody needs a map. What we've got on this map, if you are a... Don't worry, honestly, it's fine. If you've got if you've got, you know, any eyes, you can see that North America and stuff is green. Oh, it's gone. Oh, great. Well, we don't really need a map because, you know, but you can see Canada and green, all the green stuff are the really wealthy areas, okay? And Russia, China, and South America and South Africa and stuff are, well, you'd like to think of it as medium, but it's not really medium. It's, I'll show you in a minute. And then we've got Africa, which is pink, and that is just got nothing right. But that is how it is. Now, we can feel really horrible about it, can't we, and things like that, but we're actually part of an organisation and part of a thing, like many others, who are doing stuff about it, okay? This is not the kingdom of God. This is not God's plan for us, is it? This is definitely not it. And so Christians and lots of other people are working to be different about it. So don't let's be discouraged. Let's just think for a moment about what we are doing. We saw these lovely young people doing their stuff. And we're part of a solution, something that's working for a solution. And let's just hear what Jesus actually will say to us. This is from Luke 6. Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, in this church, I know that there are loads of people giving and doing loads of things. They are. And they will have experienced God giving back to you. I just want to say to you, don't give up. Be encouraged. Be happy that you are part of the giving that God's put on your heart. And be don't give up. And so during this next little interactive time, I just thought it would be great if we could just encourage with one another with ideas and things for what how we can keep ourselves going on giving, how we might do it differently, how we might share some of the things we're actually doing. Because, you know, if the young people can do it, us oldies can. Come on. The Tandy, you remember Tandy from the beginning, that beautiful, wonderful poem we heard. She's an activist, and she writes poems. That's her action. And because of the poems that she collects together, the message will go out. The Micah, he doesn't do anything apart from write poems, if you know what I mean. But that makes a massive impact. So you have to think about what you have and how you can possibly use it. And, you know, what we can do together in a creative way doesn't always have to be like accountancy or lawyery or something. It can be a bit creative or something like that, although we love the large amounts of money that these people make. Okay, so I wondered if in our groups we could just talk a little bit about that, and then we'll maybe gather some ideas before we close our service. Is that okay? You're good, you'll get a biscuit. I don't know if there's anybody here rude enough to talk with their mouth full and tell us. Does anybody want to share any of the stuff that they've been talking about, ideas or anything like that, or any comments back from the service now? You could if you wanted to. You don't feel that you have to in any way, but yes, Bill?
A couple of weeks ago, I was looking at a YouTube thing about making roads from plastic. And when you consider the state of the roads...
It would.
Once you make a road, it appears to last forever. So, let's say you're saying, get rid of that pedal, and if you can do roads too, so I think you should try and push that and find out how to do it.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Anybody else at school? Just while you're thinking, at school every year six we have to do we like to do a sculpture project that we leave in the school grounds as a kind of legacy for those leaving the school and for the other children to see. So this year we're going to be doing a protest garden. So we're taking plastic bottles and stuff and we're turning them into amazing plants. I hope they're going to be amazing. You never know with children, do you? But the idea is that they'll be amazing and we'll have that as a kind of protest garden that plants and things like that will be giving back the oxygen and stuff into our atmosphere that we need. So that's a kind of tiny little thing that we're doing, which is good. And the stuff that Bill said, anybody else like to say anything? Eileen?
Well, there's a group within the village now who are helping Seer Green become eco-friendly.
Fantastic.
And there are all sorts of talks, etc., going on here in the church in, I think, a couple of weeks' time, certainly during March.
Brilliant.
One of which is, you know, bring your own goods and something, your old thing, whatever it is, and someone will help you repair it.
Great.
Instead of chuck it out and find new ones.
So is that on the website? Will that be on the website?
No.
Sabrina.
I'm on social media a lot, and so I follow out the doors and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff on there I do share, I retweet, I comment on that, just to get the word out.
Fantastic.
Certainly using hashtags as well for those of you that aren't tech savvy. Really helpful just to get the word out that what is going on, what people are doing, and the injustices out there. Particularly because a lot of people now, because they've got social media, I can try it, are able to actually report on what is happening right in front of them. They can go, look, this is happening right now, I've got footage, I've seen this, and you can get the word out that the news doesn't cover. So, you know, I find it's very, very good to find out what's actually going on.
Fantastic. There are also some good podcasts out there. There's Young Activists, which have just come out, launched by Tear Fund, which you can share on your thing, whatever it is. Anybody else like to share anything at all? Did you?
Well, I'm sure lots of us are doing. Many of us like doing it. It's very easy to do just when you're at home. You can't get out, but actually write to your MPs and talk to them. And you know, and Helen talks about how she writes to prisoners. My father-in-law does a lot of that. He writes to prisoners.
Yeah.
You know, good old pen and paper.
A pen and paper? Whoa, that is radical. That's really good. Well, oh, Barry?
Yeah, we've got up in Lockwood Association, we've put in a new hedge in, so we've got all the young village families coming up with
them. Okay. That's really great. Really great. That's great, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Well, don't just stop the conversation here. We're going to have coffee. I just want to say a big thank you for journeying with us on this justice thing and keep talking about it. And we're going to just end. I think Barry's going to pray Andy Flanagan reconciled. Just our last video clip here and then we'll have some coffee, carry on chatting, and that's how it'll go.